T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
On first down, Prescott looks, fires, complete, easy touchdown. Corey Clement dancing into the end zone. wide open. And he throws the football high and kind of bounces near the crowd.
Well, good for Corey Clement. I've always liked him. His dad came by the pregame show. You know, he's from the area. His dad's been coming to the games.
His father
forever.
Drops by a lot, actually.
Yeah. And, you know, if any Cowboy had to score, it was him. But the question begs as why Dak Prescott was still in there. Mike Garofalo, once upon a time, was a WIP midday show producer. He has gone on to greatness with the NFL Network, where you will find him, actually, I believe, after this hit. He's going to be going back on the air this morning, and you can follow him on Twitter at Mike, Garofolo. I hope you got to stay in the family home last night, Mike.
I did, and my kids were here, so they helped watch the kids while my wife tried to get a couple of moments peace while I was at the stadium all day long. We started at 9 a.m. yesterday for Good Morning Football Weekend, and we were there through our interview with Zeke Elliott after the game. So, yep. And now I'm sitting at NFL Films. I'm doing my hits from here this morning. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, a lot of time down here in South
there
Jersey.
You go.
And,
good. And you're all stomping grounds. So the question that you can probably answer, because you did talk to those guys after the game, we understand that Dallas wanted to open the game with its starters after bad performance last week and try to get them in some sort of rhythm and so on, and that was Mike McCarthy's business to do it. But through the third quarter, when the game was well won, well out of hand, why did he feel the need? What's your sense of why Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, those guys were playing so late?
A couple of things, and I'm not saying I necessarily agree with it, but I'll give you the logic. One, there is an outside chance that one of the teams ahead of them loses and they move up in the seeding. So that was first, but I don't think that was high in McCarthy's list from what I was gathering all week. In fact, I had a bunch of my friends. I mean, you know, listen, I work NFL Network. I know we show the gambling lines, but I don't get into that stuff. I'm not allowed to, I don't know, I'm supposed to or whatever, but I had my friends calling me saying, hey, the line is dropping. What's going on? You've been reporting all week that I said, I know what I've been reporting all week. They're going to play and the Eagles are not going to play. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what's happening with your lines, but I'm just telling you from covering the game, here's what's going to happen, because McCarthy wanted to rinse the taste of last week's offensive performance out of his mouth. That's number one. Number two, he wanted to come up here and play a game in the cold and win the game in the cold and play physically in the cold, because they're going to have to do that likely in Lambeau to get to the Super Bowl. And there were also individual achievements that he wanted to help them achieve, which they did. Zeke over 1,000 yards, Dak the single season passing touchdown record, as well as most touchdown scorers for a team in a season. And then the last one was to complete a perfect sweep of the NFC East. I'm not sure if the Eagles are sitting there this morning saying, boy, they really got us and they wiped the division, because the Eagles know how they approach that game. So I don't know how big the mental edge is, but you put all that stuff together and it was all important enough to Mike McCarthy. Oh, here's the other thing. My understanding is his belief is you don't go halfway. You either do it or you don't do it. And I would go back to the 2011 season. They lost in the playoffs to the Giants after they rested in week 17 and then had the bye. So they were a little rusty. And Mike McCarthy won the Super Bowl as a wild card team. So I just, all that put together, I truly believe he believes in momentum, and he thought it was important for his team to play, so they did.
Wow. You know, we were talking about it at the top of the show, Mike, and I was just baffled. I mean, when the third quarter starts and Prescott's on the field, I say, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, all the stuff that you said, with the exception of the individual records, I mean, with the exception of Zeke with 1,000 yards and Dak with the Romo record, which to me is, I don't think it's that big a deal, but, you know, all the other stuff about, you know, getting the rhythm, getting the guys playing, having the game locked up, which they did, they had accomplished all that at halftime. You know, so if you come out with those guys in the third quarter, and like I said to Glenn, if Dak Prescott in that third quarter, if Milton Williams comes through and gets a hit on him, and Dak Prescott goes down and gets up with a broken rib, and he's done for the playoffs, Mike McCarthy is the idiot of idiots for putting him in that position. All it takes is one play, Mike. All it takes is one play, and your postseason is out the window. So, I couldn't believe it. And I said to Glenn, you know, I spent last night, I was thinking about it so much, about what is he doing? I was like, I don't think McCarthy's a particularly good coach, but I thought he went way beyond the pale on this one. And I'm just thinking, is it possible? Is it possible that this was payback for the Beat Dallas t-shirt? Was it possible that has been bugging McCarthy all year and that he took advantage of this opportunity to without really saying it, but kind of doing it, saying to Nick Sirianni, oh, yeah, Beat Dallas? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? How you like this? Put this one on a t-shirt, big boy. I mean, is there any chance that was part of it?
That I haven't heard that. It would very much surprise me. I do think that it was and the other time, I talked about the Super Bowl, the other times when he was with the Packers, when they moved well in the postseason, they had momentum. You've got Rodgers playing today, so that's something that Rodgers always pushed, especially, again, after that 2011 season, back when McCarthy was with the Packers. I think it's mostly about that. I do. I think it was mostly about, you know, we need some good vibes to get going heading into the postseason. Now, I understand what you're saying. After the first half, you had that. I do know this. Let's compare it to the preseason. Sometimes coaches like to have their guys play on the other side of halftime in the third preseason game or second preseason game, which, I mean, they shortened the preseason. It used to be the third game, mm-hmm. where you'd have them go into the locker room, come out, play a series or two just to get that feeling of we went into halftime, we played in the other half, just like a real game. But then he had them, they didn't score in the third quarter, right? So it wasn't like, let's just get that feeling. So I thought, honestly, that's what he was going to do. All right, they're going to have this series on the other side because they know they're getting the ball, and then after that they're going to be done. And they weren't because they hadn't scored and they hadn't put the game away. That was the most surprising part to me, was that he waited into the fourth quarter to finally put them on ice.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, I want to move forward a little bit. I want your quick projections of some games today, which will then tell us who the Eagles are going to play in the first round of the playoffs, and then we can discuss that. All right, so you got Niners versus Rams 4:25 today. Who's winning that?
I would say probably the Rams in a close one, but I think San Francisco is going to make that game interesting. I do.
All right, but you're picking the Rams.
I'm picking the Rams, yeah.
All right. Arizona versus Seattle.
Arizona. Yeah, Seattle's a bad situation right now.
All right. Tampa Bay versus Carolina.
I don't see any way Carolina wins that game, so I'm going chalk in all these games.
All right, so if it plays out that way, the Eagles open next week, and we're guessing Saturday, at Tampa Bay. That would be the first round of the playoffs, which is likely under most of the scenarios. The Eagles beat Tom Brady in the postseason once. We remember that really fondly. They're 1-for-2 in the postseason. Can the Eagles in some way put up a fight and maybe beat Tampa Bay?
And yeah, I think they played them pretty well earlier this season. I think Tampa Bay is – you know, taking on a little bit of water with all the injuries that they've had and some other things. I believe that that's the team that's going into today saying we have really got to play well. We have got to end the regular season on a high note. So not just win that game, but let's win that game authoritatively. So let's see if they're able to do that because, you know, much as they're the defending champs, I thought they were going to win a lot more games this year. Now, look, they're going to wind up with 13. The style points to me, I shouldn't say win more games. I thought the style points were going to be. I imagined a not quite a 2007 Patriots season.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I thought Brady was going to say, okay, we won the Super Bowl, but we got hot at the right time. Let's go wire to wire this time. Let's really dominate some folks. And they haven't. They haven't. I thought they were going to look a lot better than they really have. So they are vulnerable in large part because of some of the injuries that they have had. So I look, you got an Eagles team with veterans that have been in the postseason before. They've got experience. You've got a running game and a running quarterback that you've got a game plan for that's been given defensive coordinators fits. They're not the easiest out, Glenn. They really aren't.
Nice.
What is if I were to ask you, Mike, what do you think would be the best matchup for the Eagles in the next round, and what would be the worst?
It's so funny. We were just having this conversation last night, and I think Tampa's actually a good one, just because of how the Eagles' defense and the philosophy that Jonathan Gannon has. You've got to mix up looks, but I think you want Brady to be patient. I think you want to keep everything kind of in front of you. You want to make sure that they can that you can get to them without having the blitz, so that you can devote extra defenders to the secondary. I really think defensively it's a good matchup for them. I'd worry a little bit about the Rams if they're clicking. I know Stafford really has made some boneheaded decisions of late, but that's a high-flying offense and a lot of talent. It's just not a team that I want to see. I have zero read for how they would fare against Dallas in a real game, because earlier this season, that matchup on Monday night, Nick Sirianni at the time was overmatched as a head coach, and frankly admitting it, right? Remember, he said it was after that San Francisco game, going into that Dallas game, that he was dragging himself through the mud with some of the decisions. He's a lot more cocksure as a head coach right now, and they didn't play them last night to win. So that's the one that I wouldn't even know how to handicap that game, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Mike Garofalo, always great stuff. We know you got to get yourself ready to do some TV. We appreciate your time. Follow him on Twitter at Mike Garofalo, GARAFOLO. Always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy.
Thank you, guys. My honor.
Thank you, Mike. Right.
Be well. There you go.
You know, I get to see, because we do the Saturday morning show, you and me, I'm here in studio, and I've got the TV right above my head. So I get to see, and it's always set on NFL Network. So I get to see the Saturday, what they call the Saturday morning edition of Good Morning Football, which Mike is a regular part of. And it's really good.
Yeah, very good.
It's really good. Colleen Wolf, who's also a Philadelphian, who worked at
WIP alum, baby.
And WIP alum and a Comcast Sportsnet alum. She anchors it, and Mike's one of the field reporters. And it is really a good show.
Yeah,
it's really, really well done.
Yep. Good people. Dominic in Cherry Hill is with us. What's on your mind, Dominic?
Yo, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Yeah, that was a great interview. I like Mike Garofalo and everything he said. Right. That is a great show. But
it is.
I'm just a little upset about the way the Cowboys handled that last night. I mean, come on, man. I mean, by the second half, like, what are you trying to prove? Like, give me a break. We ran, like, we were trying to lose the game, and we really stuck with them in the beginning with a bunch of nobodies. I mean, give me a break. Dude.
I agree. The thing is, hey, Dominic, just between us, I so agree, but the problem is you can't say it because it's pro sports and it's their right to do it. But as I'm watching the game, I'm thinking exactly the same as you. Like, what do you, you're already up 20 points. What do you need to prove? Get Dak out of here. Stop throwing the ball. But again, they have the right to do it, and you know, I've seen teams I like do it as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know what? The five touchdowns, that's great stuff. Let's see what he does next week. I mean, come on.
There you go.
I had to vent about the Flyers. I really do. I mean, talk about the Flyers and the Phillies almost in the same sentence. I mean, they're a team that's going nowhere fast, and there's no hope. I don't see any hope. There's a few stars on the team, few young guys that seem promising. And then it dies out. I'm really upset with it, and it's getting old. And I really am trying. I can't like the Sixers because of all the nonsense that is going on this year. So I'm kind of just relying on the Eagles. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I think you make a very valid point, which is if you're trying to, Dre, he's talking about kind of the fun quotient, right?
Right. Right.
You root for a team and you want it to be fun. And the Sixers, listen, the Sixers are a nice little streak where they won six in a row now, I think.
Yes.
Five, six in a row.
Six.
And some of the, you know, a couple of win over New Jersey, although these days, who knows, but with the COVID. But the Sixers are aggravating to watch because you still know the whole Ben Simmons drama is going to keep them from being a real valid contender, and there's the soap opera. And Dominic talks about the Flyers, and I agree with everything he said. And the Phillies are always frustrating. And you want it to be entirely fun, and God Almighty, the soap opera dominates.
It does.
Yeah, it's
it does.
It's really frustrating. And one last thing. I'm sorry, guys. One last thing.
That's all right.
Your call. Go for it.
It's just I'm on a rant here. I don't understand at all what Gannon's thinking last night. I mean, all right, we have our bunch of backups back there. I get that. Why not, if they're going to have their players out, let's blitz every down. Let's get some shots in on them. I mean, why are we playing passes, soft, all the stuff that hasn't worked all year? Why don't you make it exciting in front of that crowd last night? Let's blitz Dak Prescott. Let's
hit
them.
Yeah, cheap shots, Ray. I'm all in favor. Dominic, you are phenomenal. You're my favorite caller. That you are clearly in the lead right now for the $50 Shibe gift card. Because every fan who's watching that game is getting frustrated that, you know, what was his name, Shashir?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, he's not going to be in an Eagles uniform in a week or ever again. And they're picking on him. Dak Prescott, supposedly one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league, is picking on him like he's a high school reserve. And they keep going at it. And I know that everybody in the stands is going, you know what? After he throws the ball, just give him a forearm in the chin strap.
Is that what you were thinking?
I'm saying other fans were thinking that.
Oh, I know you were thinking that.
I'm saying I'm aware that thought was going on in the stadium.
I'll tell you one guy that would have done it. The guy that was sitting next to me in the studio, number 59.
I'm with him.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And I don't know. I think in principle, you know, Seth is one of those guys. He wants to play every game like it's a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just him.
I know.
So the idea of having...
As far as he did.
Yeah, that's why he went from being an eighth-round draft pick to an Eagles Hall of Famer. It was that drive. Aren't many guys that have it like him, but he certainly had it. But, I mean, the idea of sort of circling any game and saying, you know what, fellas, we're just going to take this one off. We're just going to not play this one. It's anathema to him. I mean, it's he would never do that. And the fact that it was the Cowboys, I mean, he would have hated it under any terms. I mean, that could have been the Carolina Panthers last night. And if the Eagles had taken the same approach, mm-hmm. it would have bothered him. But to have it be the Cowboys, I mean, it just drove him wild. I mean,
so
absolutely.
You agree that the answer, as Dominic, our caller, said, was a forearm to the chin strap. And he's mad at the Flyers and the Sixers and the Phillies. I loved him. Dominic was great.
Well, and I understand. You know what? And I understand every bit of it.
Yeah. All right. Let me sneak in one more call here. Greg and Langhorne is with us. Greg, you were at the game last night. Get your money's worth?
Yeah, for the first half.
All right.
It was interesting. First off, Happy New Year, guys. Thank you for everything you guys are doing on the show. You guys have been phenomenal during this whole pandemic nonsense and, you know, a sense of stability and reassurance in the world. I thank you guys
thank
very
you
much.
Thank you
very
much.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Glenn, real quick, if you're out in the burbs, Moishenitzis. If
say
you
again?
Want a nice, nice pastrami sandwich.
Who?
Moishenitzis.
Where is that?
It's an Irish plate. It's a Newtown.
Yeah. Not Newtown Square.
Not Newtown Square. No, Newtown, PA, out in the burbs.
Okay.
Like, well, that's right, it's Newtown, Bucks County, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Newtown, Bucks County,
yeah.
Yes.
I don't get up that way too much. But if I do, Moishenitzis sounds like it would have a good pastrami sandwich.
Oh, everything on that menu is awesome.
Appreciate that.
But absolutely. Yeah, I was at the game. It's my father-in-law's season tickets, and he's got a son-in-law that usually goes to the Dallas games, and... that was my first time going to it myself. I brought my son because he was excited to go. And the Cowboys fans, I mean, they were just awful. The brazenness of them coming into here and so proud of their first stringers beating up on our backups. Oh,
yes.
That was so wonderful.
Yeah.
And they maybe had a Dallas hat and a Dallas glove, but nothing else representing. And they were still waving their hands and flaunting people and stuff in people's faces and being really obnoxious, and I'm surprised there wasn't more security.
I'm surprised there weren't more fights last night, because we're doing the pregame show, and you know, we do it out in the concourse, out in front of the stadium, and there were a good number of Dallas early arrivals. You know, Ray, there always are, and I think
always.
Last night's game was one a lot of Eagle fans took off. It was a meaningless game. It was a Saturday night game. You know, people have Saturday night plans. It was cold, so... Remember they used to do the no-shows in the NFL?
Right.
They don't report that anymore. There's a lot of no-shows, and I think a lot of those tickets went maybe on the secondary market to Cowboy fans. So they were there. But, Greg, what you say is true, and I was surprised I didn't see more full-out brawls last night or any full-out brawls.
Yeah, there was, again, for a team that was that far ahead and, again, playing their starters versus our scrubs, they were very braggadocious, I think is this technical term for it. And they, again, I hadn't seen that many fans in there in a while, but it was, yeah, it was abhorrent. It was just their behavior and the gestures and the language. And like, come on, really? And these cockroaches,
the way,
I'm sorry.
Name the WIP host who frequently uses the word braggadocious.
It's either Seth Joyner.
No, WIP.
Or Sonny.
No. Ray, I'll give you a clue.
Don't be too braggadocious.
Yeah, Jody. I even as he was saying it, I was thinking Jody. Yeah.
Jody uses it all the time.
But I mean, I was, you know, it's funny. I was thinking exactly the same thing as you were. I'm not in the stadium. I'm in the studio across the parking lot there at Wells Fargo. So I'm not in the building. But I was thinking the same thing. I'm thinking in the second half of this game, there's going to be fights all over the place. Because you're going to have the Cowboy fans, and there are a lot of them. There's always a lot of them at the link when the Cowboys come in. They're just partying like crazy. And they're throwing this in the face of all these Eagles fans. And I guarantee at some point, it's going to boil over. You know, and not that I'm endorsing it by any means, not that I'm saying that that's the appropriate thing to do, but I know how Cowboy fans act, you know, and I know how much they enjoy gloating when they win.
Oh, they're worst.
And so, and the fact that, you know, they're doing this with their starters against your JVs wouldn't matter to them at all. They would still rub it in your face. And I thought for sure, I'm thinking, there's probably fights all over the stands last night. I'm glad to hear there weren't,
no.
But I really thought there would be.
Yeah, I think Eagle fans kind of took the approach of, whatever. Knock yourself out. That's what I think. 215-592-9494. We'll take your calls coming up. And we didn't do what we're watching yesterday. We do it today. Ray, my favorite movie of the year. I watched this last week, and we will pay tribute to a legend. Ray Dinger and Glenn Mack now. Hey, we all want someone to talk straight with us, especially the person we trust to service our car. And that's exactly what you get at all 12 locally owned and operated United Tire and Service locations. Now through January 29th, save $120 on Michelin's best all-season tire, the Cross Climate 2. Take it from me, you can trust you're getting back on the road safe, whether you need new tires or an oil change. United Tire has it all. Visit UnitedTire.com to schedule your next service and tell them Glenn sent you. Don't drive alone. Drive United.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yourself, ain't you, Virgil? Virgil, that's a funny name for a bigger boy that comes from Philadelphia. What do they call you up there?
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Wow. Well, that was Rod Steiger playing the bigoted Southern sheriff and Sidney Poitier as a agent from Philadelphia down in the South to investigate a murder. In the 1960s, the great movie In the Heat of the Night, and Ray, Sidney Poitier passed away this week. I believe he was 94.
Yes.
And I know a lot of our listeners had never seen his movies. Most of his great stuff was made back in the 60s into the 70s. But, man, what a great actor and what a pioneer.
Yes, all of those things. Just a giant, really, in Hollywood. I mean, he was the first African-American actor to be nominated for an Academy Award, just to get a nomination. He was nominated for a movie called The Defiant Ones, which was in 1958, where he and Tony Curtis played two escaped prisoners that were chained together. And both of them got Academy Award nominations, and well-deserved. He didn't win for that one, but in 1963, he did win for a lovely movie called Lilies of the Field. So he wins the Academy Award, becomes the first black actor to win an Academy Award, first to be nominated, and then 5 years later, the first to actually win it. And you look at his career as an actor, and then people forget later on, he became a very good director and directed some really good films, including one that to me, I just saw it like a year ago, and it still made me laugh. And that was Stir Crazy with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder.
Yeah, who were a great odd couple, those two guys.
Just a great odd couple and just funny. I mean, you just laugh throughout the whole thing. And I had forgotten that Sidney Poitier directed that.
Mm-hmm.
So he had several lives here out in Hollywood as a pioneering actor and then a pioneering director. And then if you look over the whole of his life, and I was reading his obituary, he was knighted by the Queen of England. He won the Kennedy Center Medal in 1995. And then in 2009, he won the Presidential Medal of Freedom on top of winning an Oscar. So a real trailblazer, a great pioneer.
And a very proud man.
And a very proud man.
At a time when it was tough to, it was tough for black people anywhere, but it was very tough for black people in Hollywood.
And really had two great runs in Hollywood. One as an actor, and then later on coming back and doing some really fine work as the director.
Give me your essential three Sidney Poitier movies, because I have mine, and let's see if there's any distance between us.
Okay. Well, one of them certainly is Lilies of the Field that he won the Oscar for.
I don't have that among mine, but okay.
Wow. Okay. All right. I do. I thought he was really good in that. In the Heat of the Night,
yes.
Is the one where, it's hard to share the screen with Rod Steiger and not have Rod Steiger blow you away, because he's one of those guys that just owns the screen when he's on it. But he did. I mean, Sidney Poitier.
You heard in that clip we played.
Yeah, went toe to toe with him throughout the film, and that was really what it was about. It was about the antagonism between this racist sheriff and Sidney Poitier's character, who's this detective from the north, and they're working together to solve a racial murder down south. Really, really great. So that's the other one, and I'll tell you the one that it's the first time I ever saw him, and I just said, wow, this guy's great. And it was Blackboard Jungle.
Oh, yeah, he's a teenager.
Yeah, he's just a teenager, and I remember, yeah. I mean, there were a lot of really good people in that cast, including Glenn Ford, who played the teacher.
Movie.
And Vic Morrow, who later became the star of Combat, was one of the juvenile delinquents.
Yeah.
But the guy that just stood out to me was Sidney Poitier. That was the first time I ever saw him.
So I'll take Heat of the Night. I'll take Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which to me was a very important movie where
right. He
plays a guy who gets engaged to a young white woman, and her parents are Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, who are all great in that movie.
And that was the last movie Hepburn and Tracy made together.
Yeah, I know. And my third is Raisin in the Sun, which I also think was a very important movie where he plays the dad, the husband in a family, a black family that wants to move into a white neighborhood and finds some opposition. Okay. I want to tell people something else to watch because I watch a lot of cop shows, as you know, and dramas and murder mysteries. And I watched something different this week and loved it, Ray. A small indie feel-good movie on Apple TV Plus, if you get Apple TV Plus, won the top award at Sundance Festival, and it's called CODA, C-O-D-A, which is a musical reference, but also short for, and I didn't know this, Child of Deaf Adults. Apple TV spent $25 million for the rights to this, thinking it had a hit, and it does. CODA focuses on a young woman played by a terrific young actress I'd never seen named Amelia Jones. I know she's on a series on TV that I don't watch now. The setup is she's part of a family that make their living, going into the Atlantic pre-dawn every day before school. She and her father and brother, they haul in fish off of Gloucester. Her mom is played by Marley Matlin, terrific actress, and she's kind of home doing the books. The daughter, her character is named Ruby. She's the only member of the family who isn't deaf. And since she was a toddler, she's their interpreter at home, in public, on the fishing boat. And other than that, this poor girl is kind of an outcast. She's teased at school for how she spoke as a child. She's teased for smelling like fish when she comes to school off the boat. And by the way, all three family members, who are indeed played by deaf actors, are great. They're the salt of the earth people. The dad is crusty and horny and flatulent and very funny. Marley Matlin is great, kind of fretting over how to make it all work. And the brother gets into bar fights and he keeps getting it on with waitresses in the back room. Very interesting family. The twist is that the girl can sing beautifully. She's got this gift. And you think that because of where she comes from, the gift is going to just go unused and unnoticed. She joins the school choir. The director notices how good she is, wants to develop her gorgeous voice, wants her to audition for the Berklee College of Music up there. And Ruby feels like she can't leave her family behind. They depend on her. So you got this kind of psychic tug of war. That's as much of the plot as I'll tell you. The girl, Amelia Jones, is just great at playing kind of the odd person out, right? In school, in her family, and boy, she really can sing. I've read a lot of reviews about this. Most love it like I loved it. Some of them kind of push back, say it's too much sentimentality, a little saccharine. I felt the emotion was all genuine, and I think that this movie, Coda, is a feel-good story. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. It was an outstanding movie, and I just recommend it. My wife loved it as well. As I told you, you know, Ray, I watch a lot of hard dramas, dead people. This was the opposite of that, and it was just a lovely movie.
Yeah, that sounds great. It also sounds like a movie that Judy would have loved.
Oh, loved it. She loved it. She absolutely loved it. We all, she and I, but we loved it. But I think anybody would love this movie. So go, if you get Apple TV Plus, get Coda. I'm sure it's going to get into more general distribution moving ahead, and I recommend it.
So I like it.
All right, let me get a call in here. Let's get Anthony in South Philly. You're on 94 WIP.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Anthony.
I just wanted to feed off a little bit about what the caller earlier was talking about, how, you know, with the Eagles' defense last night, playing so lax it is, we could have, when you said cheap shot, you know, I thought about it for a minute. That's why I actually called in. It wouldn't have been the cheap shot, more of as it would have been entertaining for our fans. And also, like, if it was any other team, you know, I get it. You know, you want to play like, you know, half mash, not go too crazy. But with Dallas, we can go full out blitz Vigalia. Just send guys. You know, you're going to lose, I mean, with their starters in. So you might as well just at least send a bunch of guys consistently and not try to, you know, kill the guy in the backfield, but, you know, send a message that, like, we're not going to go down without a fight. And
Ray,
you know,
he wanted to play it like Burt Reynolds in the movies.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. You remember that scene, Ray?
I remember it very well. That's why it made our book.
Yeah,
and just I mean,
Ray,
now,
is it I believe, Ray, what Anthony is saying is it's the Cowboys, so it's a little different.
Well, you know, I'm never one to advocate cheap shotting somebody or hurting somebody because, I mean, it hurts somebody in their career. So, I mean, I'm certainly not going there, whether he's a Cowboy or not. But what I would have done is, seeing the way things are going, I would have said, you know what, McCarthy's going to – at a certain point, I'm thinking McCarthy's going to let this guy play the whole game. You know, he's going to let this guy come out here and they're going to score 70 on us. And so I would have sent some blitzes and just said, I'm going to send a message over to him that, okay, you want to leave him out there? You want to be this reckless and you want to leave your starting quarterback in here to run up a score on us? Okay, take your chances, big boy. You know, I'm going to send some blitzers and I'm going to get some hits on your quarterback and I'm going to make you think twice about this. Because the way it worked, I mean, he was just standing in the pocket, just, it was like 7-on-7. It was like a Wednesday practice. There wasn't a hint of danger for him there. And so, okay, if that's the way it's going to be, then I'm the defensive coordinator, I'm going to make you think twice about it by sending some stuff, not in the attempt to hurt him, but just to get some people around him that they think, you know what, you know, come on, let's get him out of there. It's time. But the way you were playing, you never put that idea in their mind.
Exactly. I mean, you rattle the guy a little bit. You don't want to give him the confidence going into the playoffs, you know, blowing out a team in the last game, you know, walking out of our house like that, you know. But my second question, then I'll let you guys go.
Mm-hmm.
With this is the first season I've seen. I'm 29 years old. I've been watching football, you know, since I was a kid. This is the first season I've not seen a dominant team besides really Green Bay, but they have their foes on defense with stopping the rush. But any given Sunday is literally the first time I've ever seen it this legit. Literally any Sunday, any team can win.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that there's a chance? And obviously, yes, there's a chance that we can go all the way. But I mean, really breaking it down, if everybody plays their best, do you think that we can make it all the way to the Super Bowl and win the thing?
I don't, but you know, I would be delighted to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Really, yeah. Any different?
No, I don't. Okay. I mean, I don't. I think that, you know, what Anthony says is true. I think this is very wide open. We've said that all year, that this has been a crazy year in the NFL. I mean, we were saying like 3 weeks ago, I said to you, who do you think is the best team in the league? I mean, you know, I don't know that there's one that has really emerged. You would probably say Green Bay. And I kind of think right now that the thought that any of the teams from the NFC could go into Green Bay and win a game up there now, in a year when Green Bay is the only undefeated team at home, is probably a stretch. I mean, to me, if there's one prohibitive favorite in the entire league right now, it would be the Packers on the NFC side. So the idea that the Eagles, who haven't beaten a winning team all year, could go into Lambeau in whether it's January, February, whatever it is, and beat the Packers in Lambeau, where they have not lost in 12 games, seems to me to be. I'd love to see it happen, yeah. But I don't think it's a realistic thought.
I don't disagree. Let's get Mike here before the break. Mike, we got about a minute. What's on your mind?
Well, I had my top five films of the year for you.
Go ahead, real quick.
All right. Coming in at number five. First of all, by the way, my favorite Sidney Poitier film was A Slender Thread, 1965.
Okay.
Coming in at number five, The Many Saints of Newark. Ugh. I don't know if you caught it.
I didn't like it. Go on.
Coming in at number four, King Richard. You know, Richard Williams, Will Smith plays him.
Right.
I'm a tennis fan. I thought they did a good job.
Right.
Number three, Stillwater with Matt Damon. Did you see it?
I did.
A guy from Oklahoma goes to Paris, France to help his daughter who's in a bad legal situation.
Yeah, boring.
Okay. Keep going.
Excellent. Number two, did you see the film Lamb or did you hear about it? Ray, did you see it down at the Ritz?
Did not.
It's a couple that has a sheep farm and a lamb is born and it's half human, half animal. Ooh. And they take raise it as their own and things develop a lot of questions about animal versus environment and everything.
All right. Give us number one.
It sounds crazy, but it was excellent.
All right. Number one.
It was the French version of Pulp Fiction and Fargo put together. Only the animals. An incident takes place and shown between four or five different characters, and it's shown each time with the perspective of each character, and you pick things up along the way.
All right.
Very good. Only the animals.
I will look for that. I have to be honest and say I didn't like the prequel to Sopranos that they did.
Right. I remember you reviewed that.
Yeah, I was disappointed in that, and you apparently were bored with the Matt Damon movie.
So. Yeah, I was, and I'm normally a Matt Damon guy, but that movie, Stillwater, did nothing for me.
Matt Damon hawking Bitcoin these days.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. A lot of guys. There's a lot of money. Somebody's making a lot of money in that because they're paying some high-powered endorsers. I don't know that like normal people who buy it are going to make any money. I am not here to give financial advice, but they're certainly hooking on to some big-time powerful endorsers for
yeah.
that stuff.
I mean, Matt Damon did one movie this year that I thought was really good, but nobody saw it, and that was The Last Duel. But Stillwater, to me, was – I kind of got the idea. It was based on a true story, but I thought it was poorly executed and really didn't even hold my interest.
All right. Well, we appreciate his list, however. All right, coming up, we'll get some of these calls in. We see you all there. Ooh, Ray, the next caller, Eagles are a paper tiger.
Uh-oh.
Somebody down the list, playoffs are not a big accomplishment. Somebody else shouldn't have laid down for Dallas. Then we got people want to rant about the Flyers. Oh, it's going to be a fun hour. But next, before we get to a few of those calls, tomorrow night, College Football Championship, Rays preview coming up, 215-592-9494 on 94 WIP. All right, Ray Dinger. Well, here's what we had. The Eagles play last night, lose. I mean, who cares, but a thoroughly unentertaining game. Full slate of NFL games today and tonight. Some have big meaning. And tomorrow night, Ray Dinger, there's more football because tomorrow night, championship game between Alabama and Georgia. And here it is, the Ray Dinger College Football Preview.
Well, it's all down to one game, what a beauty this one's going to be. You got Georgia 13-1 going up against Alabama 13-1, a rematch of the SEC championship game, and I have a feeling it's going to be a better game than that one. that was a one-sided affair that Alabama, who came in as the underdog, just totally obliterated Georgia in that game. And the question is, can Georgia shake off the effects of that game, come back, and with all the chips piled up in the middle of the table, beat Nick Saban and this Alabama machine? I think it's a fascinating game. I really do. I'm very, very anxious to see it. You know, Glenn, you and I have talked a lot over the course of this throughout my college football reports all season how much I really like this Georgia team. I've said that from the beginning of the year. At the beginning of the year, I said I think this could be Georgia's year to win the national championship. Coming into this year, I thought they were that good. They haven't won a national championship. Georgia's been close, mm-hmm. and they've been a really good team for a long time, but they have not been able to grab the brass ring since 1980, since the Herschel Walker days. And I think that they have the team to do it now. They certainly have the defense to do it now. What happened in the SEC championship game?
That's what I'm thinking.
Didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. I mean, they got obliterated. I mean, that was a team this year during the season. Georgia was giving up an average of 6.9 points per game. Teams weren't even averaging a touchdown and an extra point against them. Alabama scored 41 on them. I think it was an aberration. I know that this Georgia defense is a lot better than that, but the question going into this game is how much is Alabama in their head after having a performance like that in the SEC championship game, having a team dominate you like that after you've dominated everybody else all year? Can you shake that off mentally and get ready to go out and strap it on and play that team again and this time beat them? I don't know. I really don't know. I look back at that game, and I think that Dan Lanning, the defensive coordinator for Georgia, I thought it was a mistake. I thought he did some things in that game. He put in a lot of new stuff for that game. He took a defense that was the best defense in the country, and he put in a lot of new stuff. He put in
himself.
A lot of new coverages because he did the whole thing. Well, I'm up against Nick Saban, and he's been scouting me, so I can't run the same stuff. I got to try a lot of new things. Mm-hmm. And the result of it was that the Georgia team that made very few mistakes, mental mistakes, guys missing gaps, guys not being where they're supposed to be, guys blowing coverages, stuff they had never done all year, they did it all over the place against Alabama, and Alabama took advantage of it. I don't think they're going to make that same mistake yet again. I think the great X factor in this game is the Georgia quarterback, Stetson Bennett. I've said before this year, I think he's the weak link on this team. I think the defense is really that good. He, to me, is very questionable. He's 13-3 as a starting quarterback, but he's 0-2 against Alabama. Mm-hmm. Can he turn that around in the biggest game? I don't know. I've heard many times said on this station and other stations, you never bet against Nick Saban in the big game. And here you go. And I know Nick Saban. I know the way he coaches. They pounded Georgia in the SEC championship game, and they are underdogs to Georgia coming into this game. You don't think Nick Saban's having a field day with that, being able to drum that into his players for the last 2 weeks? No question. I'll tell you, my feeling on this one is I know Bryce Young is a tremendous quarterback. If he was coming out in this year's draft, he'd probably be the first pick overall, without a doubt. And he was absolutely magnificent in the SEC championship game. And I don't expect him to lay an egg in this game because he's too good.
Yeah.
But I think the Georgia team, I've been on them all year. I'm not going to get off them now. I'm going to pick – I think a lot of people are – everybody's sort of going with the chalk here with Alabama because it's the Saban factor, and I understand that. But I've believed in Georgia all year, and I think they're going to find a way to turn this thing around and win this game tomorrow night. I think Georgia wins the national championship.
I would love to see that. And you're not – you know, the thing is, if they get down, can they – do they have the offense to come back? We love their defense, but if they get down, can the offense come back?
That's going to be the problem. If that happens, if Alabama gets up 10-0, 14-0, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can. I think the Georgia – but I do think the Georgia – Georgia really showed me a lot with the way they came back. And Michigan was peaking when they played them in the last game. Michigan was coming off a really great run, and a lot of people liked Michigan to knock off Georgia, and Georgia was way better than Michigan and dominated that game. And after it was over, Jim Harbaugh said, "That's the best team we've played ever here at Michigan." So
I think you're going to see
more of that kind of Georgia team than what you saw in the game against Alabama last
night. Nice. All right, let's get Joe in Williamstown. Joe, what are you thinking today?
Hey guys, good morning.
Morning.
It's a sin the way COVID is impacting the mental health of our Eagles fans here. And listen, I'm an Eagles fan, but who did this team beat? Okay, we beat the Saints without Kamara and their third string quarterback. We beat Carolina without CMC. We beat Washington Redskins with their third string quarterback who hasn't started an NFL game and without Antonio Gibson the second game.
Joe, I understand that. I understand that, but, you know, not counting last night, which I'm not, they won six of their last seven games, and you can only play the teams that you play.
I understand that, but they're not contenders. This team is 4 years
away. I don't think they're contenders. Nobody thinks the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl.
Right. So isn't it bad that we're even in the playoffs? I mean, I'm not saying
why would it be bad?
Because we have no shot. There is no team.
What, you'd rather not be in the playoffs?
I don't get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. We were projected to be a bottom five team this year, and the reasoning for that is we need to build this team.
Ray, they exceeded expectations, Ray. This is a travesty.
It is. Listen, because...
Joe, wait a minute. Wait, hold on, Joe. Hold on. Why would you... I'm not saying that they're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think they are. I think they're going to lose next week, okay?
Absolutely.
I think we'll probably agree on that. But why is that a bad thing? Why would you rather have them not be in the playoffs than in it?
We need to trust the process like the Sixers. And I'm not
that's played out. That's really worked well.
Yeah, that's really paying off, isn't it?
Okay, if Ben Simmons...
You want to tank for 5 years in order to do what? The same thing? Losing the first round of the playoffs? Oh, please. I think he's out.
And everyone upset with Carson Wentz not being on this team. Look what that bum's doing in Indiana with the number one running back and a top 10 defense. He wasn't the answer. So I'm fine with Jalen Hurts. Listen, I'm fine with Jalen Hurts being our quarterback.
I can't let you go on. You're making my brain hurt.
He lost me at the process.
Yeah. Well, then he lost you later than he lost me. Because he was arguing from the beginning, I guess it's the same argument, that making the playoffs is a bad thing. I'm not going to waste a lot of time on this. Here's the thing. They exceeded expectations this year. And sure, the way the schedule laid out certainly played to their advantage in the back half of the season. But they also advanced to the playoffs or had a winning record because a lot of their players turned out to be better than we thought.
Right.
Including the left tackle, including the quarterback, including maybe one or two of the linebackers. And maybe they got some young guys they can kind of build with that we didn't really see coming. And maybe they have a head coach who's not a buffoon and actually can do it. If that's none of us is saying that they're going to do anything other. You know, what I hope is they have a respectable showing next week. That's what I hope. Maybe if they have an upset, hey, that's great, but I don't expect it. But I can't imagine why anybody thinks 4-13 would have been better than this.
No, I have no idea where Joe is coming from.
Right. You feel like after that you want a Flyers rant?
Sure, I'm always
right,
up for that.
Get one of those, Brandon. Oh, geez, I'm getting late, Brandon. I'm sorry, I got about a minute before I got to hit a break. But rant away, my friend.
I will try my best here. That guy last call was absolutely insane, though. But the Flyers. So I grew up with always Flyers first. And I missed the show yesterday where you guys said that they ignored Ed Snyder's birthday.
That's one of the sins, but yeah.
Who brought in the Flyer organization here and brought hockey to Philadelphia. That to me is almost like a conscious decision that they decided not to do that. Which then brings me to my next rant of how this Flyer family is now just a corporate sponsor, which then I see a gritty retreat on Jeopardy on. I mean, come on, guys. Whoever runs the Flyers, I really hope they hear you guys in this rant, because this isn't the Flyers organization. It's one thing to lose, but it's another thing to ignore your tradition, the Flyers family, the Flyers alumni, its fans,
yeah,
for God's sake, and have this happen.
Brandon, one of the things that I've said, and I got to let you go, it was a great rant. One of the things I've said is the Flyers used to cling too much to their past. They were guilty of, you know, living in the 1970s. The thing is, now what they've done is they've chased away their history. They've chased away the cherished alumni. Some guys you and I know don't feel welcome there anymore.
Right.
Which is insane.
Right.
And
it's a terrible mistake. It's the worst thing an organization can do.
Yeah, and they've chased away their fan base. They went to the other extreme. There's holding too hard to your past, and then there's ignoring your past, and there's a middle ground, and they need to find the middle ground. 215-592-9494. We got an hour to go. Your calls ahead. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack, now on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.